History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, seriously researched, hard-hitting history podcast told through entertaining stories. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so we'll close the book this week on the ESPN Top 10 series that they did, Top 10 at each position, the vote that they did with 70 various executives, coaches, and scouts voting on the top 10 players at each position. The Texans did okay on this thing. They had five players land in the top 10 at their position. They had three honorable mentions, which is, you know, anywhere from 11 to 15. And then they had three players also get at least one vote. So 11 guys, Seth, hit the radar. And I think what's interesting about this is I think it's pretty accurate in terms of if you're any sort of team, if you're any team in the NFL, especially a good team that lands a bunch of these guys on this list, or on these lists, you get a real good kind of snapshot of who your core is, like who your foundational players are. And, you know, so for the Texans, the guys that landed in the top 10 at their positions, Derek Stingley Jr., Nico Collins, Will Anderson, Danielle Hunter, Joe Mixon. Definitely core guys on this team. Couple of captains on that list. The honorable mentions, C.J. Stroud, obviously a core guy, the most important guy. Two safeties, C.J. Gardner-Johnson and Kalen Bullock being honorable mention. And then the also receiving votes, they're a little more off the grid a little. Like Jalen Petrie, I think they definitely view him as one of those guys based on the contract they gave him. Dalton Schultz, because he got a vote or two from people, I don't know if that means he's a foundational guy, but okay. And then Christian Harris is just kind of a wild card in this thing. But I think certainly those other eight guys who were at least honorable mention, and I'll throw Petrie in there, that's sort of the foundation of this team. I think what, if I were Nick Caserio and I were looking at this, I think where I would look at this and I would say, man, this is going largely according to plan. Largely, because I think the offensive line is still way too big an outlying question mark on all of this right now. But at least in terms of how we're going about building this thing, how we are acquiring guys, of those 11 guys I just named, seven were drafted by the Texans, two were signed in free agency, and then two were those sort of about to be cut, but I'm going to give you a seventh round pick or I'm going to give you Kenyon Green guys. I think if you were to ask Nick what the ideal ratio is, of the core of your team, I think proportionally this is how he would do it, where like two-thirds of the guys are guys that we drafted. The other, you know, and the rest of it, the other third is a combination of guys that we vetted pretty well that they fit in, and we're either signing them or we're trading before they get put out on the market.
Well, and the way the Texans have been operating and where they've made a lot of the improvements that I'm really intrigued by is that I like to use the Astros as a model for any sports franchise in any sport, because obviously there's going to be a lot of differences. But the biggest thing that I don't think Luno gets enough credit for, but that was huge and why the Astros remain as good as they are today, was how he structured the minor league system to be all about development and coaching and teaching things consistently and doing it in a way that a lot of other teams weren't or still aren't doing. And you get the absolute, that's why their pipeline was always not rated as good as it actually ended up being. Mm-hmm. Even when it was rated high, it probably wasn't rated as high as it should have been, because people didn't, they undervalued how some of those prospects were, but the Astros get the absolute most out of them. And then obviously they made great decisions on the draft and Latin American players and all of that. So there's the talent identification, and then there's the actual development of the talent. And I think Caserio and D'Amico have reached a good point where they know the types of players they want to go after, and it's up to Nick to go out and find those guys and see how it's all going to fit. But then D'Amico as a head coach in developing those guys, like Kamari Lassiter. Hey, Kamari Lassiter is a second-round cornerback and plays way above and beyond where most second-round cornerbacks ever end up playing. I think we've seen it time and time again with various linebackers. They play above the expectations, both in San Francisco and here. Now it's a matter of just transferring that over to the offensive side of the ball. Yeah. I mean, we've seen, since D'Amico's been a head coach, we've seen way more of it on the defensive side of the ball than the offensive side of the ball.
The most intriguing category of player in this whole thing are the guys that were going to get cut, and then Nick says, well, we'll give you a seventh round pick, or we'll give you Kenyon Green. I mean, Joe Mixon was a top 10 running back in the eyes of this group of experts around the league. C.J. Gardner-Johnson hasn't played a snap for the Texans yet, but he's enough on the grid to be honorable mention at safety. And honestly, I think what's probably keeping him out of the top 10 is just his admitted personality flaws, I'll call it, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe some people view him as flaws.
Or at the very least, like, things that he... I think there's a narrative about C.J. Gardner-Johnson that's based on how he may have been when he was younger.
Yeah.
And he's still working his way through defying that or proving that narrative wrong. And it's going to take a little while for him to do it. You gotta change your behavior and then act that way for a long time. So there's kind of a narrative about it.
Yeah, there is. Let's listen.
Justified. But I think he has changed and matured.
Yeah, of all the newcomers, I mean, we'll talk about this as training camp approaches next Wednesday. We'll be out there next Wednesday. Of all the newcomers, he's by far the most intriguing one to me, just based on his personality. This was C.J. Gardner-Johnson on the Pivot podcast, just talking about his mindset before the Super Bowl last year.
Do you turn up the energy so the rest of your team follows that?
I calm down.
Really?
You can ask the film team. This third quarter, 6 minutes left. Take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. Because I know if I get out my body or get too up, we get out of control. Mm. It's been the biggest games we done played, and I was just like, I can't do what I do. I can't do what I do. Super Bowl, I was fine being the safety valve and understand, I just don't let the ball go over my head. I don't care about no tackle right now. I don't care about knocking somebody's head. That's not my job right now. I calm down.
Yeah, I'm impressed by his self-awareness.
Well, and mind you, you got to remember, this is in the same season in which he had been ejected from the Commanders game. Yep. For not anything that he did on an actual play, but because of two different altercations. One with the Commanders receiver there, I'm blanking on who it was. And then the second time, it wasn't after a hit he made. It was after a Zach Bond hit, but he was jawing at the opposing players or whatever it might be. So he got ejected for that. But then you go to the Super Bowl, and one of the most iconic moments of that game for me was the Travis Kelce, who is a master at baiting people into getting flagged. He just goes out there and he sticks his jaw in people's faces. The officials let it happen. God knows why. And then somebody retaliates and gets a flag. Travis Kelce got hit by another Eagles player. And then he gets up and he's searching out C.J. Gardner-Johnson to get in his face. And C.J.'s just standing there with his hands behind his back.
Like, yeah.
Probably giving him interesting grin or something,
yes,
you know, like, yeah, almost like daring him to. But I think that was like C.J. Gardner-Johnson learned something in the course of last season about, all right, I got to know when to turn it down. I got to know when not. I can't be 100% full C.J. Gardner-Johnson all the time.
Yeah.
I got to dial it back at times. So I know that's, you know, maybe I'm reading too much into just a couple moments, but him saying that, I understand that in this moment, in the Super Bowl, it can't be about me making a tackle or me doing this or that. It's all about the team. That shows a lot of growth.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, seriously researched, hard-hitting history podcast told through entertaining stories. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm excited about it. I think for a guy with his personality, sometimes it's just a matter of finding the right fit. And I think Philadelphia may have been the right fit, but there was just too much baggage there already from maybe what he was like when he was a younger player. And they had to make decisions.
Yeah.
They had to make decisions as they were paying a bunch of guys. So he wasn't, it's not like C.J. Gardner-Johnson was a cap casualty per se, but when they have to make decisions about where are we going to be uncomfortable, there was just too much baggage.
I think there are some general similarities, Seth, to the decision that the Eagles made with C.J. Gardner-Johnson to the decision the Texans made with Laremy Tunsil, which is, oh, yeah, the cap is a thing. Laremy's probably going to want an extension at some point, and he's a good player. And I think similarly, the Eagles are like, okay, C.J. Gardner-Johnson makes this. He's a good player, but we've got all these other guys, similar to the Texans having all these other guys eventually. And we'll talk about Will Anderson in the next segment. Now, I think personality ended up factoring in. Now, very different personalities, obviously. Like, Laremy's personality factored in, I think, in that he probably maybe in the maybe I'm overstating it, but didn't care enough. C.J. Gardner-Johnson might care a little too much in some ways.
Well, you know? No, in one way, if you think about that, okay, these guys might have personality quirks or whatever that aren't quite fits.
Yeah.
I think C.J. Gardner-Johnson's personality fit the personality of that Eagles defense. It's just there's a lot going on there.
Yeah.
As far as Laremy, like, man, he is not a bruising football player. He's a finesse football player.
Yeah.
And D'Amico presumably would like the offense to take on more in the mindset of physicality
yep.
that the defense already has. C.J. Gardner-Johnson, you know, he fits the physicality and all that of the Texans defense. But Laremy Tunsil, he just doesn't quite fit that mold or mindset or type of player, perhaps.
I get this is the way I would frame the point I was trying to make, which is that finances were enough of a reason to where the teams themselves could give that to the player as the reason why they were moving on. There may have been other things, but we can tell the guy, there's a salary cap. We can only pay so many
guys. It played a part, in the gentlemanly way to handle it is to say that it's, because the Eagles said they wanted to go with youth, and C.J. Gardner-Johnson would say, look, I'm 27 years old.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? I think part of it is that Reed Blankenship was, I think he was a 2022 college free agent.
Yeah.
It probably really wasn't on their radar in terms of long-term planning a couple years ago, but he's a young guy that's played well for them.
If you're wondering what Will Anderson Jr. is going to make if he is once again a Pro Bowl, All-Pro, near All-Pro caliber player next year, we got the answer, I think, yesterday. We'll have that for you coming up next.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history podcast created by me, Professor Greg Jackson. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.